Oh, I have a sad tale to tell. I have not admitted this to anybody, so I'm going to confess today. I ran over my computer. I did. And the funny thing was, is I had left it in the driveway because I was going to put it in the car and in the little bag. And I realized I didn't have it, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I got home. Raining and the bag was closed and the computer wasn't wet and I was so grateful, and then I plugged it in. So it has had screen trouble, and last night it officially died. So please pray for the repose of the soul of my computer. Just kidding. So what that has done is it has put me up here without my printed stuff that I was going to say, which is fine. And sometimes I think that's good for me to do that, because when I do that, I have to trust in the Holy Spirit, because I can't read what I think I might have written, but I have to say what the Holy Spirit encourages me to say. So I have a lot on my mind today. The first thing is to share with you, yesterday I was went to West Point to St. Paul's Church, which is, there was a service of closing, it was to be a service of closing the church. St. Paul's was traditionally an all-black Episcopal church in the town of West Point. St. John's was the all-white church. And both churches were small. West Point has 3,000 people, so it hardly could support two churches. So working with the vicar of St. Peter's and things that he had done with his congregation over the years, and working together at St. John's, we came to a place where St. Peter's decided they could no longer sustain their property and that they wanted to end their ministry there. But they were also pleased and thrilled even to join St. John's in worship and ministry. So this was to be the final closing of St. Paul's Church. So here's how the Holy Spirit works. Bishop Susan was supposed to do the service, and I don't wish Bishop Susan any harm or ill, but she became ill, and so she couldn't do the service. So she called on our new assistant bishop, Bishop Harris, to come and do the service. Now, if you've seen a picture of her, you know that Bishop Harris is African American. And so here we have a whole new dynamic to closing this traditional black church, which some people think should not be done under any circumstances. And we have someone who understands it, and here's what she preached. She preached that when she went back to Chicago after some time, which is where she was from, and she had struggled to become ordained because they were not ordaining women in the very much, especially in that diocese. It was a diocesan decision. And so she went to the church that had supported her and fought with her for the bishop and got her into the process of ordination. And she went and she stood before this building of the Holy Cross Church, and she was moved by to see it and to be there. And then she looked and she saw the sign that said, "For sale." And she was devastated. As it turned out, that church just couldn't sustain itself. It had nothing to do with what color the participants or the congregation was. It was just a way of way things are sort of moving in our church, unfortunately. So the church up the road, the white church, was St. George's. And she said, she really difficult decision, but she felt like she needed to go to church. So she went and attended St. George's. And there she saw her friends from Holy Cross worshiping together at St. George's. And she was so filled with the spirit of the idea that indeed, we can all worship together and we can overcome all the things that the world puts in front of us, all the obstacles and so forth, and trust the Holy Spirit to do the job that she is given. So, then there was another surprise. Bishop Harris, at the end, well, Let me back up just a tad. There was a baptism as well. There's a family, a long-standing family, three generations of members of St. Paul's, and they had just had their second child, and it was a beautiful symbol to baptize this child at St. Paul's. So when it came time in the bulletin for the deconsecration of the building, Bishop Harris informed us that she was not going to deconsecrate the building. What she was going to do was that she was going to end the ministry of St. Paul's and bless it to join the ministry of St. John's. And that the building is kind of being beside the point and making it into a separate service. She would come back in a few weeks and actually deconsecrate the building. Separating the idea of we are the church and the building is the church. We can use any place as holy space. Any place can be blessed. Any place we can gather in places that aren't blessed. But the good news is that we are all blessed. We are all blessed because the Lord has risen. The Lord has risen indeed. And there's nothing that can overcome that. So for years, this passage troubled me. I really felt like Thomas, had a right to question. I mean, heck, if somebody came to me and said, "Oh, yeah, you just missed Jesus. He was just right out there," I'd laugh at him. Yeah, right. But he needed to know that what they were saying was true. He didn't want to depend on the word of man. He wanted to depend on the word of God. And Jesus, of course, came and gave him that opportunity. And I always think of Thomas not as doubting Thomas. I never liked that description. I think of him as discerning Thomas, that he really had to take some time and think about what this meant. And if you notice that we're reading some different passages, we're reading from the book of Acts, and which we don't usually do. And these are the readings that we read during what's called the 50 days of Easter. The 50 days from Easter until Pentecost. And during this time, we study and we look at what it is that happened between the resurrection and the Pentecost. So, the other thing that's interesting about this passage that I'll just throw in because I can, is the fact that according to John, this is when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, as opposed to the other stories where they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And if you really think about it, which sometimes it's confusing and sometimes it's good, if you read biblically, the Holy Spirit shows up way before Jesus. So we have to realize that the telling of the Holy Spirit is about how different people experience the Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity and has been and is part of who God is from the beginning for eternity. So this is one of those situations where I could stand up here and talk for about another 20 minutes because I just love all this that's going on. But I think you all would not like that very much. And Wilhelmina probably wouldn't like it either. Look at, she even ran away. So what I'm going to say in closing is that you people, you are the church. And we have a choice as the church of how we live the gospel, how we proclaim the gospel. And that's what we are called to do. Whether we do it by saying hello to somebody in the grocery store and giving them a smile, and they say, "Oh, thank you for smiling at me," or if you work at a food bank, or if you work at the animal shelter, whatever you do in your life that gives glory to God, you are expressing the life and the love of the church. So, church, I invite you to go into the world and spread the good news that indeed Jesus is risen. Amen.